I'm speaking with Harvey Hollins. He's the director of the Michigan Office of Urban and Metropolitan Initiatives, and he will be speaking at Kalamazoo College on Monday, part of the series of events in Kalamazoo to mark the life of Martin Luther King Jr. Thank you very much for taking some time to speak with us.
My pleasure.
When we talk about urban areas in Michigan, I'm sure many people think Detroit. They probably think Grand Rapids, maybe Flint. Does it get beyond that?
Yeah, that's Kalamazoo as well. We have an office. My office is based in Detroit, but we have three offices, one in Grand Rapids, Flint, and one that will open February the 4th in Kalamazoo.
And what do these satellite offices provide?
Well, they provide a direct relationship to the office of the governor, and in terms of their strategies to begin to restore their cities and move their cities forward. The office in Kalamazoo will have a regional focus, as well as the other three offices in Kalamazoo. They will also have some relationships in Ben Harbor and also in Battle Creek, but other cities in between as needed. But the three cities in that region will be a major focus in terms of economic development, services and resources that the state can begin to strategically place in these cities to begin to move and help them move the needle forward for their growth. In Grand Rapids has a focus on Muskegon and Holland as well. And in Flint, the person in Flint is working on Saginaw Bay, Midland, as well as the city of Flint. So that's and with the same initiatives of actually working with the city, making sure that the governor is aware of the issues in those cities so that we can directly address them and also begin to come up with strategies and work toward outcomes that will move the needle in terms of their economic growth.
Well, what are some of the things that the state is doing to try and improve the economic conditions in cities?
Well, the governor basically in his State of the State yesterday laid out a couple of these initiatives. The infrastructure initiative is critical. And when you look at the these cities, these were cities, a lot of them were cities that had very strong manufacturing base. And with that manufacturing base, you developed infrastructure that supported the city and the surrounding communities. And so not to say that all the road funding and the bridge funding will go to the cities. I mean, the entire state is in dire need for that infrastructure. But it's going to be critical that we also address those conditions in our cities. The there are a number of initiatives around blight that that when you lost population in a number of these cities, some of these cities have seen anywhere from 40 to 50% or more population loss over the last two decades or three. That results in abandoned properties. That results in those abandoned properties being hotspots for crime and fire, and it has put a big drain on when you lose the revenue base to support governmental services to then begin to address your crime and fire. It really drains a city, and it really complicates their environment. You can't grow a city when it's unsafe, and so blight removal initiatives are really critical. And one of the things that we've done using a pilot in the city of Detroit that we will take to other areas around the state this year is a focus on blight strategies around schools and creating an environment around a school so that you can attract residential growth around schools. So one of the things we've done is targeted a half-a-mile radius around six schools. Each school has a half-a-mile radius, and what the state will do is spend money around blight removal, but also services in a school with pathways to potential. The governor talked about that yesterday as well in the State of the State. And then enhanced security collaboration with state police and lighting. And then working with the schools so that schools can stay open past their traditional hours to provide additional services to its residents. Some of the things that we're talking about in the city of Detroit is providing things like adult literacy training, or for schools that have free and reduced lunch, children dinners in the evening, and other opportunities for residents, so that the school is active really a hub in that community. And it's the old concept of a community school that the Mott Foundation kicked off in the 1930s with their Lighthouse Initiative. And sometimes you can find these old ideas that really make sense in today's environment. And if the school can be the hub in that community, you can really come up with interesting strategies to have economic development or neighborhood stabilization initiatives that can grow a community. And as a result, you grow tax base, and then the city, you know, and that's one of the initiatives that we'll see with additional blight control or blight removal funds. The other thing is scrap metal. Scrap metal is a big problem in our cities. I mean, you have scrap metal theft at the rate that you see in all these cities. We really have to figure out ways of better addressing and enforcing that area so that we can reduce and have an impact on reduction of scrap metal. So we're not losing investment with these coming in, ripping off fencing and tearing down or taking the copper out of lighting structures or whatnot. So that's one of the things that you'll see, too, as well next year.
How much do you try to work on things like regional cooperation, and how much do you focus on the idea that urban areas in our state have very unique problems that perhaps are quite different from what a rural community might have, even if it's really not that far away?
Yeah, the focus that I have is for my office is primarily our urban centers, our central cities. The regional cooperation, that does come into play. For example, when we know that fire service, and there's no better example, in my opinion, in the country, probably definitely in the state, than the Kalamazoo area, which has a public safety environment where the police and fire are merged, but then you have regional cooperation with services that can be provided across jurisdictions, which is a great model, in my opinion, for how a central city that may be struggling with providing service in terms of fire coverage, for example, that could partner with a neighboring municipality to also to assist in coverage and vice versa. Case in point, Highland Park is a place that, you know, has a couple fire trucks. It's a city that is located in the middle of the city of Detroit. It's 2.9 square miles, but they're surrounded by three Detroit fire stations. And up until this point, they haven't been willing, except for this mayor. Mayor Windham is doing a phenomenal job in Highland, trying to restructure that city and getting it right track. Mayor Windham is working with the city of Detroit to do collaborative fire service. Well, can we take that concept and just regionalize the effort? Of course, and that benefits our central cities. So when we're talking about those kind of efforts, I do engage in those conversations. And there are other things that the treasurer is doing with some of the initiatives along EBIP that gets collaboration in terms of taking municipalities and clouding activities to, what I mean by clouding, you can take the IT functions and cloud them and provide the same services to municipalities that are not necessarily adjacent to one another. So that is, those initiatives are something that will help central cities. And so where the regional conversations benefit a central city, then I'm all over it. I think it's something that when you look at successful models around the country, regional services and collaborations are always part of the picture, and no longer are people talking about let's just do the stuff around Detroit and ignore everybody else, or let's do the stuff around Kalamazoo and ignore Portage, for example. You can come up with some unique strategies that where the efficiencies will grow that area.
Now, for people who don't know your biography, you're actually from this side of the state, born in South Haven. You're a graduate of Otsego High School and then also a graduate of Kalamazoo College. Do you think that having grown up on this side of the state and in Kalamazoo, in Kalamazoo area in particular, that you might have a little different perspective on urban issues than someone who grew up in the Detroit area or grew up in Grand Rapids?
Without question. There's a viewpoint on the west side of the state about the city of Detroit that is not all that positive. And growing up on that on the west side of the state, you know, I know the conversation. I've heard the conversation, and the conversation is not dead. It's still alive. My parents still live in Kalamazoo. I have a brother who lives in that area, and a sister as well. And so, you know, it's still a real dialogue that goes out. Been working in the city of Detroit for the last almost 10 years. You see a different side of the equation. And the two sides of the state really need to come together, because at the end of the day, Kalamazoo is not fighting Detroit, and Detroit is not fighting Kalamazoo. Both Kalamazoo and Detroit is fighting Chicago, and they're fighting Indianapolis, they're fighting neighboring states for jobs, for resources, for investment. And so it's not about, you know, these individual one-upsments and can we do better than the city of Detroit. It's can the state of Michigan do better than Illinois? Can the state of Michigan do better than Indiana and Ohio? That's the question that we have to deal with. And we can get to a strategy, a win strategy, where Kalamazoo and Grand Rapids, Muskegon and Holland and South Haven and Benton Harbor can benefit if we have a strong Detroit. And vice versa, where Detroit can be strengthened if those cities in that side of the state, on that side of the state, are growing and are very strong, and that's a very interesting dynamic you raised in terms of that question, because I'm very interested in having cross-pollinated conversations. Can we take the concept of Art Prize, for example, in Grand Rapids and duplicate that initiative on the east side of the state? Or take Kalamazoo Promise, which is a nationally recognized initiative, and do it in other places around this state. I mean, so I want to take best practices from one side of the state and see if we can do it on the other side of the state. There's some things that are occurring in the city of Detroit in terms of, you know, for example, incubation and technology and entrepreneurial growth strategies that will benefit the east, the west side of the state, and so we have had an initiative to create an statewide urban agenda that has been underway since June, and that has involved groups from Kalamazoo, Flint, Grand Rapids, and Detroit, and the surrounding areas. About 250 to 300 people have involved themselves in these discussions. And the neat thing that came out of the discussions, we brought everybody together to kind of do a clicker technology vote on what the focus areas of this urban agenda should look like. And to have them all in the same room expressing their opinions about what should be strategies or focus areas to grow our central cities was an enlightening experience. You know, one side of the state didn't think that public safety, for example, was all that critical. Then the other side, obviously, in the Detroit area and Flint area, everyone thought that, yeah, public safety is number one. And to have that conversation on really understanding the needs and the factors that are critical to the other side of the state was just absolutely important. We got to do more of that. The chambers, when the governor took office in 2011, the governor asked the east side chambers to do meetings and to do a kind of a trip and experience on the west side and vice versa, and they did that. I participated on one of those trips, and when you get those individuals in the room from both sides of the state talking about strategies of moving this entire state forward, we can come up with some very dynamic solutions to some of the problems that we've been working on for decades.
So when you come to Kalamazoo on Monday and you're going to be speaking at Kalamazoo College, how do you see the whole issue now of urban affairs, urban issues, the problems in cities, sort of fitting in with the message that Martin Luther King gave before his death in 1968?
Yeah, well, Martin Luther King, and it's interesting that it's 50 years prior to that, and we're also celebrating, we acknowledge the 150th year of the Emancipation Proclamation. And so you have these two major events.
50th anniversary of the I Have a Dream speech is this year, right?
Yeah, it's 50th anniversary of I Have a Dream speech, and it's the 150th anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation that was signed by Abraham Lincoln in January, 150 years ago. And so I just like, you know, so that the numbers are very interesting, 50 years, 150. And even in King's speech, you know, I Have a Dream, he acknowledges the Emancipation Proclamation. He says, you know, 47 years ago, a great American who symbolic seller was today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. That's how that thing opened up. And so the connection between what this country was going through during the Civil War, slavery, to what the country was experiencing under civil rights and issues of segregation and other things around relationships, to where we are right now, where you don't see those institutions as visible as tangible today, but then there is the social economic dynamic that cities have gone through that need the support and the unity of the regions and the suburbs in order to really sustain itself. And we have to get past divisive conversations. That's what King was about. He was about uniting this country. I would dare say that Abraham Lincoln was about the same thing. And 50 years later, we have to have those same conversations, get past the suburbs fighting the central cities, getting past the issue of the west side of the state fighting the east side of the state, and coming together as one state to grow our economy and to make an environment where those kids, or I can't even call them kids, those young adults who are in college can choose as a first choice to stay in Michigan as opposed to going to St. Louis or to Houston or to Chicago or to New York. We would like to have areas in our state where those are first options for our graduates of any of our institutions of higher learning to stay here in the state. So I think the message is very interesting that it's shifting, but the divisive initiatives that King took on in his I Have a Dream speech, and then Abraham Lincoln, President Lincoln took on in his signing of the Emancipation Proclamation, is still around, and we need to address that. And I think there's an opportunity for the next generation to look at what's next in terms of divisive conversation that they could work to eliminate to move this not only their environment, their society forward, but this entire country.